we are continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer with the sixth petition, which is, lead us not into temptation. Now, God is not the problem here. God doesn't lead us into temptation. He is holy. He doesn't struggle with temptation. The problem in this petition is all us. It's us, and we are praying urgently for God to keep us from going into the path of temptation that we so often go down. Hey, it's Amber, wife, mother, type A child of God. Here are little things we look at everyday issues from a biblical perspective with one simple goal, to know and love God more. Thanks for listening. Temptation comes from three different places. We talked about this before. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And we're going to do those backwards. So first of all, our own sinful flesh. When is the last time you have really taken a good, solid, sober look at your life to discover the areas of temptation that you often struggle with? Have you really thought this through? So a really easy way to do it, and this isn't all-encompassing, but this is a start, is to go through the Ten Commandments. Is God in first place in your life? Are you taking time every day to read your Bible, to pray? Are you setting aside time to spend with Him? Is God your friend? Do you look forward to spending time with Him? Or day after day after day, does He sort of get pushed off the to-do list and you just inadvertently fill your day with everything else and you forget to be with Him? See, I don't have a hard time being with my friends. I schedule walks with my friends. I schedule coffee with my friends. I'm scheduling Bible studies with my friends. And you know, when I have something scheduled with my friends, I look forward to that time. So if we spend time with God, or if day after day we just don't have time, it really shows where our heart is. Second commandment, how are you doing with God's name? Is it something that you just don't hold up as very reverent? You just easily let it slip out like a curse word or flippantly without even thinking about it? How is your praise life? Are you using God's name to thank Him for His goodness? I was walking with a friend today, and as we were walking, one of the things that we did is just thank God out loud. Thank you, God, you answered that prayer. And thank you, God, I saw you do this. And thank you, God, you are amazing, because this is what I know is true. And all throughout the walk, we kept thanking God, praising God. You are amazing. You are so much bigger than this, God. That's what we're supposed to do with God's name. How's that going for you? Third commandment, how are you feeling about church these days? Yeah, some of us need to take a good, hard look at this. Are we grumpy when it comes to church? Like, I don't really get anything out of it. I don't know why I even go. Or do we say with the psalmist, and it was in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is that your attitude on Saturday night or Sunday morning or Thursday night or Monday night or whenever it is you get to go worship? I like to try to remind myself that there are Christians all over the world who would love to have a church building to go to, who would love to be able to go to church without fear of being persecuted or maybe even killed. There are Christians who don't even know another Christian in their family or maybe even in their community. If you have access to a church, it really doesn't matter what the worship style is like. And it really doesn't matter if the pastor isn't as energetic as you hoped he would be, or if he's sort of dull or doesn't do the application, does he read the Word of God from the Bible? Does he stick to the Bible in its truth and purity? If so, you have reason to rejoice and to look forward to going to a house of worship where you can worship, praise, learn, hear. Fourth commandment, how are you feeling with authority? All authority, it's an election year. It's already started. I'm starting to hear things. I don't really like hearing things. But what are your prayers during an election year? Are you praying that your party wins? Or are you praying that God raises up righteous leaders, that God would, in his mercy, give us leaders who will lead us in a good and godly way, who will help this country stay standing, who will lead us out of the darkness of sin, disgusting sin, that we so easily fall into as a nation? What are your prayers? I often think of Joshua when he's going into the promised land. He's going into Canaan to take it. And he sees an angel and he says, whose side are you on, ours or our enemies? And he said, neither, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. So often we think, oh, this is the candidate God would have win, or this is the candidate that God would have win. Well, probably there's good and bad in all candidates, and there's good and bad in all parties. So instead of being so decisively, this is what God would do, or this is who God would have, let's pray for good and godly leaders, and let's let God raise them up. We'll do our best to pick them as we see it. You know, if they're flagrantly evil people, God, show us who those people are. But otherwise, let's pray for our country and not make fun of those in authority, not put down those in authority, ridicule them. Let's be godly about it. Number five, who do you hate? And you might be saying right now, oh, I don't hate anybody, Amber. No, I love everybody. I was talking with a friend recently. I was chatting with her about someone in my life who I very honestly felt like I had a pure heart towards. I was saying, I very much want them to come to know the Lord, and I want this for them, but I don't want this. And my friend stopped me in my tracks and she said, Amber, you're getting very close. You're on a very thin line here. You're walking that fence between love and hate. Like, God, bless them this much, but not like this. Or let God be God. You know, don't worry about it. God knows everybody's heart. So you pray with a clear conscience and you let God be God. Number six, what impure thoughts have you become okay with? Who do you find attractive, good looking? What pictures, images do you let play in your head more than they should? Or do you keep reliving? Number seven, whose time are you wasting? This is a big one for me right now. This year, 2024, I am determined to not waste God's time, because God has given me this life. He gives me every minute I have. And I'm taking it seriously when Jesus said we must work while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. And so when I am stuck in a rut scrolling or just mindlessly looking through Netflix or whatever, I'm thinking, okay, God, is this the best use of my time? If I'm with my family and it's a family night and we're going to have a movie night, absolutely. It's a great use of my time. I love spending time with my family. If it's me being lazy, not so much. So are you wasting time? That's like stealing time from God. God also said, will a man rob God? How are your offerings? Now, I know This is a touchy subject. We don't like to talk about money, and we certainly do not like to talk about how much money we give to God. But God actually said, will a man rob God? He expects us with a cheerful heart to give back to him. And then he says, you cannot outgive him. Test him and see. He will bless you. So we don't give to be blessed, but when we give with a cheerful heart, saying, God, this is yours. It was all yours to begin with. And now I'm going to give you back what is your own anyway. He assures us we will not miss it. 8, how are you doing with your mouth right now? When you talk about other people, what's that looking like? Are you quick to remind people how terrible someone is at something or how you have to put up with? Are you quick to tell people other people's faults? Do you lie? Yeah. And 9 and 10, how is that Instagram scroll going for you? Do you find yourself falling into discontent as you see images of other people? Maybe they're traveling more. They look like they have it more together. Their houses are more together. Their kids are more together. How can they make their own laundry soap? How in the world do they have time to make their own taco seasoning? How is that Instagram scroll or that Facebook scroll or TikTok or whatever your favorite social media site, how's that working for you? Is it causing you to covet or are you doing just fine, just getting ideas? Examine yourself. See how your flesh is leading you astray. And Luther said, when we are young, our flesh tends to be the problem. Our flesh causes us to go all the places we shouldn't be going. As we get older, we struggle more with the world. So what is it that the world is causing us? How is the world causing us to sin? How much influence do you allow the world to have on you? Because Jesus said that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And that means we have to really watch what we're watching, what we're saying, how we're acting. Are you an angry person? Because you see all the things that are happening out there and you can't help but get angry. You go to work and you're like, this is just ridiculous. Why do they expect this of us? I don't get paid enough to deal with this. Do you grumble? Because Christians are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So instead of grumbling, like, here we are again, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and oh my word, that is wrong, we should be saying, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We should be remembering that God is in control of everything. We should be thankful that we had the stamina to get out of bed today, and that he has given us abilities to allow us to work. And yet so often we step into the world and we become part of the world. We just grumble, complain, we're angry, we're swerving in and out of traffic because people aren't going our speed or are doing things that we don't like. And how dare that driver think he can drive like that? Are you content to be least in the world's eye? We had this conversation last night. I was talking with some of the members of my family, and I was saying how it didn't bother me at all to be a nursing assistant. I don't mind being considered the least. I was cutting toenails and giving baths and cleaning people up and helping them to the bathroom, and I very much felt like God had me there serving those people and that it was an honor to be with them, especially as people were in their last hours and their last days. I mean, being able to sit with them and pray with them and talk to them about Jesus. I still remember the last words that I heard from one man before he slipped into unconsciousness, and he was unconscious for several days. But I remember him saying very much he knew he was dying, his end was coming, and he said, "I'll see you in heaven, Amber." How amazing is that? Did I mind being a nursing assistant at a nursing home? Not at all. I'll do whatever God calls me to do, whatever that looks like. And then there's the devil. How are you doing guarding your family from letting the devil influence your family? What are you allowing to be watched in your home? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? And I'm not even talking about music and movies anymore. There's podcasts. All throughout the day, I can hear my children listen to podcasts or audiobooks or whatever. And man, some are good and some are very not good. And you can just see how the devil can squirm in to cause discontent. And you know, anymore, ever since the whole social media influencer thing, you know, by the way, influencer is the job that most young adults want right now. They want to be able to create content and then become millionaires. And I tell my kids all the time, you know, that is a mirage. My guess is you don't stay there for very long. And if you do, there's so much pressure to keep looking the same, producing, doing. It's not worth it. But also, I mean, it is like anything else. The very few get to be these influencer types, but you have to be really careful which influencers you're allowing to influence you, because most of the influencers are not Christian. They are very much steeped in a worldly philosophy, and they are definitely, I just told one of my children this the other day, if they're walking in the ways of the world, they're really walking with the devil. So you can walk with Satan or you can walk with God. And if you walk with God, you should be walking in God's ways. You should know his will. You should be in the word, right? And so if you don't know the word, you're not walking in God's ways. If you're not, you're walking with Satan. So you want to be careful letting that in, and definitely letting that voice influence you. Satan is so quick to make a home in our lives. My mom used to say, and Martin Luther in the Large Catechism said it too, Satan needs a small hole. He will use every opportunity to get into your life. He just needs a little opening, and he will slither his way in and he will devour. He will start small and then he'll take more ground and more ground and more ground and develop a stronghold. And pretty soon you wonder how you got where you are. So what are we praying in this petition? With all these temptations that we have to deal with, what are we praying? Well, we are praying that God helps us to not become weary and faint. In Hebrews 12:3, we're told to consider him who endured such opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, we're told, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will provide a way out when we are tempted, so that we are able to stand. That doesn't mean that we're not going to feel the temptation. Temptation is going to be a part of our life as long as we are breathing on this earth. We'll feel the temptation. Sometimes it will be stronger than others, but God will be there and he will give us a way out. And we just have to pray that we see the way out and that we take the way out. Luther said we can daily expect to be tempted, and that we daily need God's help to avoid the temptation and to not fall into the temptation. It's a good idea to look, evaluate, examine your life. See the areas where you are falling into temptation so that you can combat it, so that you can be praying, so that you can be watchful, so that slowly but surely those temptations become less powerful and your ability to stand becomes more powerful. This has been Little Things, because in God's kingdom, the little things are the big things.